Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Boston. What's going on? This is the WEEI Producers Show here. Shime, Garvin, Lanny in with you on this crisp Saturday morning, gentlemen. The Boston Celtics have found themselves somehow, some way, in a game six. Who would have thought we actually would have gotten here after starting down 3-0?
Ryan,
I sure didn't.
I did.
Ryan,
I said last week we're going to be here talking about a potential finals berth.
Yep.
We're not going to start with the Charles Schwab special. I had all these notes ready to go.
I love the Charles Schwab. Michael Block not playing so hot, but it's okay. He's a good
Harris
guy.
English. I'm going to crumple these up. Celtics, fine. Yes, I was right. Okay, no, let's not make a big deal out of it. I've been the only person that's been saying this team still has a chance. But no. Let's just bury them before the game's even played.
Look, I watched the first three games. I watched the absolute and utter quit in game three.
Can we start with game three?
Yeah, and I was just like, this is just, ugh. I felt like I was watching what I just watched in the Panthers Hurricane series, where it's one team just grinds it out. Where one team just grinds it out and sweeps, and they're just like, yep, this is it. Sorry, we may be the 8 seed. We may be from Miami, and our fans may be at the Golden Corral at 5 o'clock, but you know what? We're going to win.
We got some winning to do. So when we last left, I think I started positive and then got very critical, and then I ended on an up note.
Yeah, good sandwich.
It's a delicious sandwich. It's served well with chips, maybe a nice seltzer or a Truly if you're later in the day. But I remember coming off of our show last week still feeling a modicum of optimism when it comes to the Boston Celtics. Now, I wasn't overly thrilled with a lot of the things that were happening around the end of game two, namely what had gone on with feeding Grant Williams to the wolf, that is Jimmy Butler, and then his team not backing him up whatsoever in the game during the press conference. It's like, oh, let's not talk about it, like it never happened. So I felt pretty strong going into game three. Look, I think all these games are must win in the playoffs. Like, no, it's fine. No. Win them all. Make it easier on yourself. Like, the Denver Nuggets are like, yeah, we're pretty happy we swept the Los Angeles Lakers and we can rest right now. So I look at game three. You have to have it. First game on the road. You have to get back in this series. I thought they were going to show some level of fight. Boys, I could not have been more wrong about what happened in that game. It was really, like, for a team, this group has had a lot of tough losses. This team's had a lot of bad losses this year in the regular season, the postseason. That I think it was that game three that the Hawks were like, this, I couldn't even see how this happened. This was an all-timer level of, I don't give a you-know-what. you can't, like, I'm paid to be here right now, and I can't even bother to show that I care about winning this game, that I care about winning this series. And it was team-wide.
Yeah, it was really odd to see that, and that's what why I became so pessimistic. I'm like, nobody wants to be here. What are we doing here? Like, it was one of those things where, and you didn't really kind of expect it to quite go that far that way. Like, this team has been inconsistent all playoffs. We know that. We've experienced it. We've ridden this roller coaster. But to think that they would just kind of, like, disappear entirely.
Like, you guys were down on the team even before. Like, we were saying last week, this series is over. Like, did you guys expect to see what you expected in that game three? That was unlike anything I had ever seen with this
No,
group.
As a fan, I was completely deflated after two, and then three was just crushing. You know what I mean? It was the way I looked at it, and again, it's been talked about all week, and it's annoying, but like the 0-4 Red Sox, because that's how it was with game three when the Yankees came
and
in.
They won, what, 19-8?
And put up two touchdowns, yeah. Three touchdowns against
right.
So, you know what I mean? It was one of those kind of feelings where it's like, if they don't want to be here, why am I watching this? So I was down in the dumps after game two. I was even worse in game three, and now my inner honk's coming out, and I'm like, all right, we got this.
Ooh. Yeah, look, we're starting to get him back.
Yeah,
and for me, it's not even that I'm like inner honk's coming out. I just watched what the Heat did in game five, and they're resting guys, and they're like, nah, it's fine. We're gonna win at home. And if that doesn't scream karmic justice eventually right. coming their way, I don't know what does. Because teams do that all the time, and what happens? They always lose. It's just this weird thing that they do. It's like, nah, don't worry. We're just going to win at home. When in reality, when these two teams play each other, the home team is like 7-22. It's insane. So I don't know. The Heat have been really good at home in the playoffs outside of the Celtics. I get that. I understand that. But like, to just assume, it's fine. Like,
yeah, Jimmy Butler's too laid back.
Yeah, we could pack it in. Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, you rest on the bench, guys. We're going to pack it in, and we'll just win game six. And Jimmy Butler even said, we're going to win this series after game five. And there's so many just smoke signals coming from the Miami Heat that I'm like, oh, these guys are just falling. They're, like, cracking. Like, this is, the pressure's getting to them.
Well, and it's really interesting to see how the feelings of this series have swung as wildly as they have, because I don't think there really is anything close to it in this playoffs with any other team so far. Even like what happened early on with Golden State and Sacramento, Sacramento is good, but I don't know if they have enough to get over the hump against Golden State. Following game three, like, this feels almost like it's a wonderful life. Like, we got to see, you know, what the future was going to be like if certain aspects of this team weren't around. After game three, what were some of, like, the wild ideas you guys were having as far as what this team needs to do?
Well, when it's all said and done?
Missoula, they're gone. Not coming back.
Brown's not getting
blow it up. You're making. Trade Brown, yeah, yeah. Trade Smart.
It was ugly.
Trade everyone.
You guys are trading Jaylen Brown after game three.
Oh, yeah, yeah. After game three, I was trading everyone except for, like, Rob Williams and Jason Tatum.
And I don't even know if it's necessarily a trade. It's not offering him the contract that he earned by getting all NBA.
See, I still haven't come off of that. I am still absolutely willing to work with Jaylen Brown on a nice, healthy extension. Because outside of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, after game three, I'm like, I don't really think there's another guy. Like, are we going to run this core back of Smart and Rob Williams, Al Horford, Grant Williams has a contract that's coming up? I mean, are we really going to run this back for the fourth time? Are we going to have to replace the coach again? Are we even looking at, you know, making some adjustments in the front office as well, considering Brad Stevens' big trade deadline solution was Mike Muscala?
Well,
who's been awesome in this series, by the way.
That's why I think
stop talking about Mike Muscala.
Even if they escape and win this series somehow, some way, I still think you have to consider moving a lot of pieces in the offseason. Like, it's just the way this team, the inconsistencies. I think that Wick has been he's not reactionary like we are, right? Like, or at least like I am. I won't speak for you guys, but like I am. He is not that way. And so I don't expect him to can Missoula right away in the offseason. Like, if they had gotten swept by the Heat, I thought that was very much on the table, but just because you need kind of a scapegoat. But if the Celtics get this to game seven, or even if they lose tonight, right? Like, I don't think Missoula's gone, because I don't think Wick is going to be that reactionary for a guy that Brad trusts. And then, but with Jaylen Brown, it's not nearly as reactionary because you have so much evidence to back up your argument one way or the other, right?
If
you
want to keep him or if you want to trade him. All the names that are out there, like Doc and Monty Williams and Nick Nurse.
Yeah,
it's tempting.
Yeah, from the coaching perspective, for sure.
Doc, gross.
Yeah, keep him out.
But I'm not even willing to, like, I'm moving on from Joe Mazzulla no matter what. Like, I don't think he should have
been the long-term. Yeah, but I don't think the Celtics look at it the same way.
That's why I'm smarter than the Celtics, because I am looking and seeing that they have a glaring coaching problem, and they need to address it.
Hey, he called some good timeouts in game five.
I know. See, and that's what's so wild about how this series has swung in the last two games, since it really looked like this era of the Boston Celtics had come to a pretty definitive close after game three.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, Joe, I'm still talking about you, man. Honestly, I'll fire you right off the duck boat. Thank you. Here's your ring. Here's a sandwich. Go enjoy the offseason. I am not bringing you back. Well, he's going to be hungry, you know? I don't want him to be hungry when he's in unemployment. And it's... In game four and five, you're right, Shime. Like, he has shown, like, an aptitude of having a better sense of the game, I guess, is the best way I can describe it.
It's a very low bar.
But that's it. It's like, the expectations of just doing the bare minimum, that is what he is exceeding right now. And you have a group on paper that should be winning today, that should be winning in less than a month from now. And I think it can be more than one if you decide in the future you want to retool around two superstars, like actual superstars, not like Jimmy Butler. That Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, those are the guys that you have to build around. Anything after that, I'm willing to listen on. I am a big Marcus Smart fan. I love Rob Williams. I understand the value of what Al Horford brings to you. But there are too many examples of this group letting you down. I'm not there yet. But I still think a lot of these questions, regardless of outcome, should be on the table, because I think this team is in a position to get better. As far as Joe Mazzulla goes, I can't run it back with that guy. There isn't a great argument of, well, he's going to be better. Like, we're starting at rock bottom, and you're wasting time. You know, look, I get it. Bad circumstances, all of that. Like, you're over 100 games in at this point, and I wasn't willing to give him the benefit of the doubt after the fact. Like, why? I'm not going to start right now. There's no chance.
So what if you can get somebody around Mazzulla to replace the people you lost? The Will Hotties, the Damon Stoudemire of the world. What if you bring in another ex-NBA player and now coach just to work with them? Do you think it would work then, or do you think Mazzulla and his staff just needs to go all together?
Well, I don't know. It's not necessarily, Lanny, like an X's and O's thing with me. It's a temperament thing. It's how are things going when they're at their best? And how are things going when they're at their worst? And his attitude flat out sucked for good portions of the year when things honestly weren't that bad. Going out of his way to be combative with, like, Gary Washburn and John Corrales and Abby Chin. Like, I'm tired of that BS. I don't think that suits you well as the leader of men. Like, yeah, you're trying to set an example and speak to these guys without actually speaking to them. And I think it was a terrible look. I mean, God, there are countless examples of just nonsense of, I am the worst coach ever. And, you know, nobody's going to ask me about my adjustments. The three-point attempt is the most important stat in basketball. Like, I've had my fill of Joe Mazzulla. It's been a big debate on my show in the afternoons as far as, like, do you move on and do you have another coach for the fourth time in 4 years? And I'm going, what difference does it make if you hire, if you get three lousy tires? Like, are you just going to keep them on because you don't want to pay for a fourth tire? No, you have to replace a glaring mistake or you'll crash your car. That's how I feel with Joe Mazzulla right now. Like, sorry, no offense, probably a nice guy. He's a big MMA enthusiast. I'm a big MMA enthusiast. We probably have a lot to talk about. I just don't think he should be the coach of this team, period, end of statement. You're not going to convince me otherwise.
Yeah, no, I get that. I don't think he should be the coach of this team. And I think it's very different. People talk about, oh, like Tatum's, what, four? It'll be his fourth coach in 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a little different than offensive coordinators in football where you need that kind of consistency. When it comes to an NBA coach, you need just like the right personality, the right guy to lead men. And so I don't believe that Joe Mazzulla is necessarily that right now. Like, 5-6 years down the road, he might be better suited for a job like this. But right now, where he is, I don't think he's ready for it by any means. And And it's tough. You had the right guy. He just screwed up, which just screwed you. Like, there's, and you just have to deal with that, unfortunately. Like, you got unlucky, and sometimes that just happens. So I agree. I agree that they should move on from Mazzulla. I'm just not necessarily convinced that they will. 617-779-7937 if
like
you want to get on with
Cassell.
Us.
Let's bring in Sam Cassell.
Okay, there you go. There's Ryan's
championship guy.
Ryan wants Sam
Former
Cassell.
Former player. That could be fun.
If you want to join us here on the Producer Show, feel free to call in, or you can text 37937. Shime, Lanny, and Garvin with you, getting you ready for Celtics Game 6 tonight in Miami.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Emmy.
WEEI. We are right back to the WEEI Producers Show.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
This is the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Shime, Lanny, and Garvin with you this morning. Talking Celtics Game 6 tonight in Miami.
Oh, I love all the Miami Heat slander that's been going on during the break. Oh, it warms me.
Yeah, Ryan has been leading the charge. And it's not even like a pro-Celtics charge. It's entirely an anti-Miami Heat charge.
100%. He's been leading that charge for 2 months now, yes. Guys.
Yeah, he really has. And
swim in my wake. Boston.
And so now that everybody's on board, Ryan feels redeemed.
I don't think everyone's on board. I really don't.
I think a lot of people are on board.
I feel like you should. I feel like I've kind of been vindicated, and I feel like even if the Celtics do end up losing tonight, which is a possibility that we have to acknowledge, this Miami Heat team will get pulverized by Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. Like, that's a team with talent. That's a team with drafted players that are consistent and know how to win. Oh, but they haven't won a championship. They were the number one seed all year long. The Denver Nuggets were the number one seed since
And Nikola
December.
Jokic is like averaging a triple-double in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Jamal Murray is averaging almost 30 points.
He had a great
in the
series against the Lakers.
Yeah, it's insane to me. Like, I don't quite get the Nuggets slander either, but I'm fully on board with the anti-Miami Heat wave. I still don't know that this Celtics team is good enough to win the championship. I just don't.
Really?
I think they're too inconsistent. I think if they go up against Denver, they'll lose. Like, even if they escape from the series, they go up against Denver, they'll lose.
Would you be satisfied, though, if they make it to the finals against Denver?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't know if anything changes for me.
Yeah, you were there last year.
Yeah, that's where you were last year, and then you're right back in the same spot, and you lose to a better team.
Right, you're just going to get to what? Game? What are they losing, 6 last year?
6.
Yeah. So you get to a game 7, then all of a sudden it's a better year than last year.
Well, to actually, just to counter that point that Joe made, it's that Denver team, I think, is a better team than that Golden State team last year. That,
agreed. This Denver team is really good.
Golden State played the Celtics really well. Like, again, that's kind of where it's where we are now is because of how the Miami Heat have played. Like, they did
play really that game two win, sneaky good win by the Miami Heat. Like, that was a close game. But again, I think it all kind of fell apart when, you know, everyone's like, oh, Grant poked the bear. And I applauded the guy for doing something that I think and a lot of Celtics fans have wanted to see from the Celtics. Show a little fight. Show like you care just a little bit. Just make me feel like I don't care about this more than you. And they played really well, I think, in game two. But overall, the Miami Heat, like, what was the stat that you gave me during the break about the win record?
Yeah, I believe Greg had this yesterday morning as part of his lead on the Greg Hill Show every day, 6 to 10, that the Miami Heat have, like, the lowest win percentage to hold a 3-0 series lead in the NBA playoffs.
That makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. That, look, that team squeaked into the playoffs. I looked at their stats. I had watched a fair amount of Miami games during the final stretch of the season. Thank you, sports gambling. That's why I got here in the first place.
Woo.
And they looked, if plan A, which is out-gritting and out-hustling and out-toughing the team, doesn't work, they don't have a plan B. And everything has sort of fallen into place for them. Like, people talk about, is Caleb Martin a legitimate scoring threat off the bench? No. Is Gabe Vincent going to have a multi-year contract and be the point guard of the future? No. Is playoff Jimmy going to lead them to the promised land in an NBA championship? No. Playoff Jimmy, who had 10 shots last in game five, that's the guy that's going to lead this team to a championship? 100% not happening.
I had somebody yesterday at the road show tell me, oh, I'm kind of scared of Bam Adebayo. I go, why?
He has looked terrible.
Six turnovers in game five.
Rob Williams clearly intimidates the crap out of him. Yeah, exactly.
All they did was crowd the paint and just swat at the ball.
He had a good game once. Since then, he has been average the entire series. Like, he's a non-factor. And also, even when he's really good, he doesn't score 30 points.
Right.
Like, he's not going to take over a game.
You can't lose to a guy who's just pulling down rebounds.
Exactly. And even that, he's still only been fine at. Like, right. It's not even like he's just dominating the glass by any means.
Like,
so it's, I agree with you. This Heat team, it's all Jimmy Butler. Like, if Jimmy Butler goes off for 50 points, I'd get worried. But again, hasn't done that really this series. Your undrafted guys that everybody was so hyped up about in the first couple games are falling apart left and right. Like, you don't have Tyler Hero. Kyle Lowry is clearly not the same.
Oh, my God. He does not look like that guy that you saw in the bubble a couple of years ago.
He is not the same.
You bring up the undrafted players, and there was a lot of fanfare. And look.
It was ridiculous.
I know. It was absolutely ridiculous. But the other side of it is like, it's kind of cool that you see these guys that, you know, diamonds in the rough. I mean, come on, Patriots fans. Like, you guys love this crap of, oh, yeah, nobody saw him coming, but my coach and my Pat Riley knew
something.
Look at
this great scouting.
Eric Spoelstra knew something. Like, on one hand, okay, yeah, it's kind of cool that they've got this ragtag band of misfits that, you know, are having this kind of Cinderella run. Like, people get all hot and bothered over that in the NCAA playoffs. The only difference is, if you win game one of that series, you don't have to see the team that you just beat. But I don't know, like, is there a part of you as a basketball fan that looks at what the Miami Heat does and go, yeah, you know what, I like that mold, I like that method, that could be sustainable?
No
hell no. I don't
like.
You need
superstar. You can like it for a season, but for a career.
You can like him for a handful of games.
You know,
I couldn't imagine being a Heat fan and being invested in that style all year long.
The way they win and stuff too is just so grindy and slow. It's why I thought the Heat or Knicks, whichever team you played in the Eastern Conference Finals, I thought the series was just going to be boring because those teams were just like, grindy, grind, grind. Like, there's no flash. There's no substance. It's
94
just
to 88.
Yes,
oh, my God.
So
it's 2023. They're shooting more three-pointers.
The duel of Jimmy Butler versus Julius Randle.
That's what's so crazy is, like, Jimmy Butler gets a lot of fanfare for what he's been able to do with this Heat team. But just if you remove the name and you just look at the player ability, like, it shouldn't work. Like, you really shouldn't have a superstar on your team that doesn't stretch the floor. Like, just by the mold of basketball today, like,
I think he would have been he would have fit in perfectly in like the early 2000s. Like I think he would have probably won more than he's won now. But you have a guy that just doesn't stretch the floor. It's like he's almost like a poor man's Carmelo Anthony when I look at him. He's a better
Carmelo is way
he's a better passer, but as
shout
far
out
as
Mello, recent retirement.
Yeah, fine, good for him. But as far as like offensive game going, like, you know, I'm going to find a guy and go one on one and keep winning consistently that way. Like, that's where I kind of get the Mello aspect. I think he's a better playmaker. But then you go to, okay, well, who is he setting up? Carmelo Anthony had J.R. Smith, Kenyon Martin, Chauncey Billups.
Played with Russell Westbrook for a time.
Amari Stoudemire. Like, he had guys around him that could shoot the ball. Like, good Lord. Could you imagine what this Miami Heat team would be if they actually had, like, one guy? One other guy?
Yeah, they don't. It's like there are other guys.
They thought it was going to be Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, 3 years ago. And then, like, you think it's going to be Bam, but that's just not what Bam does. That's not who he is. He's just an average player, and he's or a good NBA starter. He's not going to be, like, a top two player on your team. He shouldn't be a top two player on your team.
He defends well. He's good around the paint. I think he got a huge boost a couple years ago when he sort of had his coming out party, like, sort of before the pandemic. You're going, wow, this guy's really good. But you look at that Miami Heat team and you're going, okay, it's not the undrafted players, but there's something here. They've got the coach. Whatever this like cult-like thing that Jimmy Butler's got going on, as far as I go, my team goes, and what I say, we say, like, it's working. Like, it is working. I don't respect this team at all. But they are, like, I have to admit, they are in the Eastern Conference Finals. Granted, there have been bad teams in the Eastern Conference Finals before. Look at LeBron's third year in the league, that terrible Cleveland Cavaliers team that went to the finals and got smoked by the Spurs. The Orlando Magic team at least had Dwight Howard on it in 2009. But if the Celtics are healthy, they probably don't go on and get an opportunity to play Cleveland and get killed by the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, just imagine if they had one more guy, then you've got a problem in the Eastern Conference.
Their other guy is the coach. That's the problem.
It's a great way to put it.
You know what I mean? Like, we have Tatum and Brown.
How many points they is have Eric Spoelstra
that's
good
what I'm saying.
For?
They have Butler and Spoelstra and think that's going to be enough. Here's what Jimmy does on the court. Here's what Spoelstra does off the court. This is what we're going to do. And
honestly,
probably
though, it does feel like the gap is kind of narrowed in these past couple of games between those two. Between Mazzulla and Spoelstra.
No, I don't think that it's narrowed. I just think
it's
you're
still
seeing
a large gap, but it's like 10% shorter.
I think you're also just seeing the reality of the gap in talent between the two rosters. Like, the Celtics roster is clearly more talented.
Deeper.
Deeper. Of course. And it's like, as much as I may be like, yeah, even in the offseason, even if you win this series, blow it up. Like, move some of these guys. Like, all of these guys are talented. I may want to move on from Marcus Smart. He's still a lot better than a lot of what the Heat have. Same with Derek White. Same with a healthy Malcolm Brogdon. Same with Jaylen Brown. Like, Robert Williams just dominates the paint against this team. And then Jason Tatum is, without a doubt, the best player on the floor. Like, it's not even close.
It was refreshing in game four for, in like real time, that light bulb to click with this team. Namely, Jason Tatum to go, Max Strus is going to cover me.
I can take take field goal attempts in the fourth quarter.
Oh my God. What does Shaq say? Barbecue chicken alert. Everybody get out of my way. I am going one on one. Jalen, you go over there. Marcus, you go over there. Al, I'm not passing you the ball. You're going to miss your shot. I am taking this little man one on one and I am going to take him to the rack for 2 points. Like, finally, that's what had been missing, what had been so maddening about watching these early games. Like, game three really kind of screwed me up as a Celtics fan. Because if you have game one and two,
it made you waver.
And you have game four and five, you're going, okay, the series is played fairly even at this point. Game three, barbecue chicken alert, Gabe Vincent, I'm taking you. It was, like I said in the first segment, like, the Celtics team has had a lot of bad losses, but nothing like that I've ever seen with this team before. It's just like, we're done. We don't want to do this. We don't want to be here. It is as bad as you think it is. And then all the reports coming out after the fact of,
you know, they're not over Ime Udoka yet. Kevin O'Connor saying that, you know, they're tired of fake liking each other.
Barbecue chicken alert. Like, barbecue chicken alert.
I was getting into that.
Is that Rick Ross or is that Shaq still?
Point is, like, those things are still sort of in the background of what is happening with this team. I think their post games have been very interesting. Like, they're going out of ways to say, okay, maybe they're not going out of their way, but I feel like they are going out of their way to talk about how connected they are.
Yeah,
and
the word is together.
They're willing to fight for each other, being together.
That
Sean,
is clearly
you.
Field
the,
trips
the,
to Topgolf.
Yes.
Great time.
Hey,
Malcolm Brogdon had a great time at Topgolf. Clearly too much fun because now he's dealing with an injury.
Hurt his arm.
But the point is, like, I think it can be both things, unfortunately, especially when you've been together as long as some of these guys have, namely your big three of Smart, Tatum, and Brown. Like, there are going to be days when they love each other and, yeah, we're going to do this, man, and we're going to start a rock band, and then we're going to go into business with each other, and, yeah, I love you, and I love you, and this is life. And then there are days where, like, I don't want to talk to this MF-er. He makes me crazy. I think both of those things can exist in a vacuum with this team. It's just a matter of, can you compartmentalize the bad stuff in order to go out there and do your job, which is to win basketball games, put ball in net, do it more than the other team, do it every time you can, win a championship.
This is the producer show on WEEI with Shime, Lanny, and Garvin. Let's go to the phones. Mike in Malden wants to talk about Missoula. What's up, Mike?
Hey, gentlemen. I'm going to take you through my two-part plan to solve the or fix the Boston Celtics this offseason, if you're ready. So
yes.
The first thing I'm doing is I'm signing and trading Grant Williams and packaging him with Peyton Pritchard, and I am sending him to the Golden State Warriors for Draymond Green because Draymond is up in a contract year next year. They're never going to re-sign him, so Golden State turns him into something instead of losing him for nothing. And then if you can let a boy dream for a minute, I am reaching into my Coach Pags bag, and I'm calling Mike Krzyzewski and saying, I'll pay you infinity money to come here for 3 years. I'm sure he'll tell me to go F myself. Then I go to Harvard, and I call Tommy Amaker, and I say, come coach the NBA.
Okay, interesting points. Mike, thank you for the call.
Well, so I like Grant. I don't know if there's anything nefarious going on with why he hasn't been playing, but you clearly see he's been a difference maker.
Might be a bit of a relationship issue with the coach.
Yes, also compartmentalizing the issues. Now, Draymond Green, if you had brought that call up last year, I'd go, oh, yeah, I could get in on that. But
what does Draymond do now?
Like, Draymond does, like,
he's a triple single.
For the money that
he
would
has 5
have
points,
to,
5 rebounds and 5 assists.
5 more points than I did. Congratulations, Draymond. I think that there is still value to that veteran presence. Although I feel like with this specific group of players, like, you got to, like, kind of watch who it is, cuz, like, sometimes a guy like Al Horford, Kemba Walker can be good for them. Other times it's a guy like Kyrie Irving or Marcus Morris that's not necessarily working out the way that they had intended. But Draymond really looked like a shell of himself all year long. He's making like $28 million next year too. Like, that's if you're going to be able to sign Grant to that kind of money to trade him, I think I'd rather have Grant at that point.
Yeah, at the same time though, like, I don't hate the idea of Draymond like as a rotational piece kind of with Rob Williams. Like, assumedly that Rob Williams would be more healthy next year and would play more minutes, which is the ideal world. But again, this is the flex time lord we're talking about, so who knows what would happen. But in that scenario that Rob's healthy enough, like, I think that kind of rotation would help. And an older guy, I think you're right. I think that locker room presence would be necessary. Draymond would absolutely add a bit of a snarl to this team that they don't necessarily have. And in a playoff series, I think that would matter. Like, in a series against the Heat, I think the attitude of a guy like Draymond Green would pay dividends.
Yeah, Draymond Green's the guy you'd want in Butler's face.
Yeah.
Not Grant Williams.
Exactly. He's the one poking the bear because he's actually going to...
Might actually punch you in the face.
Yeah, he might kick you in the nuts. Like, literally.
But at least Grant can score. Like, Grant's gonna, like...
But you have guys that can score. Like, that's... You have...
Right, you're not relying on Grant for points.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Grant gets you, what, 6 points in the game and you're happy? Like, I can get 5 points out of Draymond. Like, that's fine. That's all I need. I don't need him to be scoring 15 to 20 points a game. That's not what he's here for. He's here for 5 points and an attitude and leadership. And you're focusing your offense through guys like Jason Tatum, and if Jaylen Brown's still here, and then your guard, your trio of guards, like that's where you're focusing your points anyways. So I don't hate the idea. Does it thrill me? No, but like if the Celtics did, I'd be like, okay, it makes sense to me.
He's got a player option next year for $27.5 million. It's a lot of money.
It's a one-year option, though, and it's, what, right before they would give out the Supermax to Jaylen?
Right.
So it kind of makes sense, right? Right before you go and spend all your money on Jaylen, it's like, all right, we're going to bring in a guy, and hopefully he can get the attitude right in this room and get you ready and get you to a championship.
And look, as far as like coaching goes, you would never get Mike Krzyzewski, but I'd be willing to listen on just about anybody.
Well, yeah, Joe Mazzulla, again, as we stated earlier, the bar is very low for Joe Mazzulla. Just calling a timeout when the opponent is on any kind of run is a step in positive direction. And so any coach that can simply call a timeout to stop momentum is already better than Joe Mazzulla. Right,
sensing that you need to call a timeout.
Have any kind of game, like actually just understanding that you're in an NBA game and not playing pickup at the Y,
right.
That's kind of all we really need.
The one I will say after game three when I was sitting and going, all right, how do we change this team? How do we fix it? It wasn't Draymond Green that I had set my sights on as far as a good veteran presence that's got a little edge to him. It was Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley played very well for the Chicago Bulls down the stretch, even though they did eventually get knocked out in the second play-in. I can't remember if it was the first or the second play-in.
No, they lost to the Heat. They were up 10 on the Heat in the fourth quarter.
God, there was so much bad basketball in those play-ins. I think that's probably why I regressed.
One of those teams is still alive.
You know, and I'm always going to like Marcus Smart. I just wonder, you know, in some instances, can a new voice be a benefit? Can it shake things up? It didn't work this year with your coach. It didn't work at all. But sometimes with the players, it might be served best to bring in fresh perspective. Somebody that's not like, oh, I know how things are. I think for the most part, it's worked fairly well with the Red Sox. I know the record isn't what it should be, but not having the leaders that you had and bringing in a Justin Turner, even an Adam Duvall early on in the season, I think has been more of a benefit than a detriment to that group. I think the exact same thing could work with the Celtics.
617-779-7937 if you want to get on here with Shime, Lanny, and Garvin right here on the Producer Show on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI, New England Sports Original.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, we're right back to it. The WEEI Producers Show on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
This is the WEEI Producers Show right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI Shine. Lanny and Garvin with you on this Saturday morning, getting you ready for the Celtics game 6 tonight in Miami, down 3-2 in the series. Official prediction time. Do they win and force a game 7? Ryan, I will start with you.
Yeah, they're going to win this game tonight. I think the pressure should still absolutely be on the Boston Celtics. I don't like it when they start getting comfortable and smelling their own farts, as Gresham Fauria like to say. I always get nervous when these guys start to feel good, because it means that they're, and I'm not going to say let go of the rope. I'm not going to say, because I feel like that's all I've heard this week is they let go of the rope. But they get complacent.
Grish and Fauria.
Those guys. Complacency is a dangerous thing in every facet
of life, and it is no different when it comes to your basketball team, Boston. And this group has proven so many times as they've been together that they really, really like to make things more difficult than they have to be. And I got to hope that they've gone, okay, enough effing around. We are better than this group, because they are better than the Miami Heat. And grit and guts alone is not enough to knock this team off. It really, like, you have to have talented players, and I don't think that Jimmy Butler alone is going to be able to do enough, whether regardless if they have Gabe Vincent back, regardless if Bam Adebayo actually does show up, you know, for more than just the first quarter. I have this team winning tonight. Game seven, we'll see how I feel. I know I said yesterday that I think that they can come back and win this series.
Well, Ryan,
if there was ever an opportunity to make history, it would be at the expense of an 8-seed Miami Heat team. This would be the year that
luckily
it would happen.
For you, yeah. You don't have to make a Game 7 prediction if they win tonight, because, update for the people, producer show Parte Deux.
What?
Will be tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.
I'm working tomorrow
two
morning.
2 hours. Me and Ryan will be here reviewing Celtics Game 6 from the night before. So
no long weekend for you boys.
Nope. We are working hard. We are grinding. We're doing our thing. So you don't have to make a prediction for Game 7. You can save that for tomorrow. That. Billy Lanny, Game 6 tonight in Miami. Celtics are 2.5-point favorites. It's a pretty low number. What say you, friend? Will the Celtics win and force a Game 7?
Celtics will force a Game 7.
Yeah.
And I believe that the pressure is on the Heat. I believe the Celtics are in some kind of mindset now that I think the quote switch has been flipped. And I think you got the best out of the Heat in those first three games. I think what you dealt with those first three games, you're not going to have to deal with anymore. So I'm thinking the Celtics today. I don't know about covering and over and unders and all that stuff.
Celtics win. That's what matters.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going with the Celtics win, forcing a Game 7. We'll worry about Game 7 when we get there. But I think the Heat are in a position now where I refuse to believe that Jimmy Butler and that Heat team is this cool, calm, and collected where it's like, hey, we're just going to have a beer and drink some wine and whip up a charcuterie board. You know what I mean? Like,
That's my job.
I refuse to believe that the Miami Heat is as calm as they are projecting. So I'm taking the Celtics to win, force a Game 7.
Yeah, I will also take the Celtics to win Game 6 and force a Game 7. And this isn't a pro-Celtics team, because I still don't believe in this unit, this roster, because I don't believe that they're consistent enough. I don't believe that they are coached well enough. I think there's a lot of issues with the Celtics. But I just think all of the signs indicate to me the Miami Heat ain't it.
Like, I think
they feel pressured. They're, Kenny Smith said, maybe not shaken, but stirred. They kind of have their... Well, it's a James Bond reference. There you go. They're kind of on the back foot here. They were the ones that are like, nah, don't worry. We're still going to just win it at home in Game 6. No big deal. We'll rest our guys in the fourth quarter of Game 5. Doesn't matter. We're just going to win. And karma, to me, has been a major player in the NBA playoffs, it feels like, this year, and in the NHL playoffs, and I feel like that will continue tonight. And so it's not necessarily a pro-Celtics take.
I just think we all don't believe in the Miami
Heat.
Right.
Yes, 100%. It's exactly
not shaken, but stirred.
Yeah, I don't believe in the Miami Heat, and I believe Jason Tatum is the best player on the floor, and to me that means the best player should win.
You alluded to the Jimmy Butler press conferences. I have liked the gamesmanship that has presented itself in the last two games, as far as, you know, Jalen Brown, like, don't let us win one, whatever. Like, fine, if that's your mantra,
yeah, what else are you supposed to say?
Whatever. I don't care.
But then
about
after
that.
Game four, but Jimmy Butler, like,
yeah, Jimmy Butler in Jimmy Butler in Game 5, going, listen, we're gonna win Game 6. We are going to win this series. Jaylen Brown sitting there going, you gave us two. First of all, I told you don't let us win one. We did. We won two. Don't let us win another. Like, I'm finally like, okay, let's go. Like, acknowledge
a little
these
bit
guys
of bite
for what they are. Like, push back a little bit. Don't let them slap you around like they've been doing in the first three games of this series. I like that there's some edge, some snarl, as we were talking about in the last segment, with the Celtics. It's refreshing for them to, you know, that's a good team, well-run, good organization. Like,
After game four, Jimmy Butler's talking about momentum being on their side.
To the level that you do is, God, it was the same thing with the 76ers. I'm like, this team is not that good, you guys. You don't have to talk like they're the greatest show on earth.
Yeah, the Celtics are clearly the better team. As I said earlier, 2.5-point favorites. It's a little odd. It's one of those weird days where the Celtics opened as 3-point favorites. They're down to 2.5-point favorites. About 50% of the bets, but over 60% of the actual physical cash is on the Boston Celtics, which is, you know, one of those weird line movements, but it's nothing crazy. It's not like there's, you know, 90% of the money on the Celtics or anything. I believe that this is a Boston Celtics win tonight because the Miami Heat just can't do it. This is an anti-Miami Heat show here, the producer show.
Right.
We are so fully anti-Miami Heat, led by the charge, Ryan waving the flag
right.
of the anti-Heat.
We've come a long way since last week, and I.
It's a snowflake on the flag because we are the opposite of the Heat.
Just picture the Les Mis scene, just standing on the rubble, at Ryan with that, you know, anti-Heat flag.
I love
it. Oh, man, I don't remember any Les Mis lyrics.
Neither do I. I just know Hugh Jackman's in there and Anne Hathaway. Good
La
for
Resistance him. Lives on. That is
don't they get? Doesn't one of them like fight for a loaf of bread or something? I don't know. Anyways,
it's just that ending scene where they're all standing on the rubble and like singing "Revolution" and that kind of stuff. Yes.
All right, fair enough.
Revolt from
a Les Mis
crappy
we're
basketball.
We're ending it there.
If I would figure anyone would get a Les Mis reference, it'd be you three. Yeah,
no, I like to consider myself a fan of the arts.
He's a man of culture.
However,
sure.
Les Mis, not in my repertoire. This has been the producer show on Boston Sports Original. WEEI, Ken and Curtis are up next, so keep it locked right here. And as I said, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., Garvin and I will be live for a producer show part de deux to review the Celtics Game 6, hopefully win over the Miami Heat. Keep it locked right here on Boston Sports Original. WEEI, we'll see you later.
See ya!
Later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.